I asked somebody else, what do you do in your free time? Like 6 months ago, I play poker. You say, what? I play poker. Ha. Huh. What is poker? What is poker? Cards. Oh, so. And then I ask, what's the average time you spend playing poker? Not much, 2 or 3 hours. Not much. Huh? Where I live, there are people that spend 6 hours playing poker. I said, my Lord. And sometimes I wonder, what do you do when you're not working? How do you spend your time when you're not working? And by the way, don't get excited and think, oh, here he comes again telling me to be holy. I cannot even have some fun. I'm not saying that. You could have fun praising God. You can do so many stuff praising God. Can I play soccer and praise God? Yes. How? When you score a goal, thank you, Jesus! I mean, come on, let's not be so fanatic. But you know, thinking about our generation today, one of the greatest weakness of our generation is misuse of their time. Some of our kids will go through the night in a computer until 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, and then they will sleep until noon. And the sad part of it is that some of our old folks are doing the same thing too. So let me give you some tips, some biblical suggestion how to make a better use of your time. It's sad to think that many people in church, once God to bless them, they want to make out in life, they want to be rich, but yet their time is not used wisely. Isn't that right? So, somebody once said that we've got too much time in our hands, and most of the time we don't know what to do with the time that we have in our hands. In Proverbs chapter 23, verse 4 and 5, you and I are advised to watch out, not to overdo with the desire to get rich. Let's read it. Don't wear yourself. Now, some people can't make good use of their time. They can't have some fun. They can't enjoy life because they are wearing themselves out trying to get rich. The problem with rich is that it grows wings. Did you know that? Brother preacher, can you put up there verse 5? Read it this with me. In the blink of an eye, making best use of our times. Don't spend all your time trying to get rich. Be smart enough to know when to quit. Because wealth grows wings. Isn't that what it says? For it will sprout wings and fly like an eagle. So you say for me not to work? I didn't say that. The book says don't wear yourself out trying to get rich, but be smart enough to know when to quit. Why? Because you're going to need to quit at one point to enjoy life. Say amen. Amen. Okay. The Bible says that you should not wear yourself trying to get rich, meaning that we should not be slothful. On the other hand, you know, the majority of our problems today is that we are either one extreme or the other. Some people work 16 hours a day. trying to get rich. And they don't have time for family. They miss on family. They miss on their church. They miss on their services and the social life among ourselves. The others is the opposite. They are what I call nature's inspector. What is a nature inspector? Somebody that the main work is to wake up every morning, go out and check to make sure that the sun is risen. They are nature's inspector. These people should not eat. The Bible says, if you don't want to work, don't eat. If I had a child at home that don't want to work, you're not going to eat my food. But I'm hungry. Get out, get a job. This is how it works. Now, the Bible does say that you should be diligent, because riches is not obtained by overworking yourself, but riches are obtained by diligence. You want to see that? Brother preacher, give me Proverbs chapter 10, verse 4 and verse 5. Watch this. Proverbs 10. There you go. Read it with me. Lazy people, but... Well, I thought you said not to work hard. I didn't say that. It says, do not wear yourself out trying to get rich. There's no paradox here. Be smart enough to know when to quit. Nevertheless, don't be slothful. Diligence is the word here. A wise youth harvests in the summer. But the one who sleeps during harvest is a disgrace. Are you going to see how interesting this thing gets? Can you go back to 24? I mean to verse 4. Give me now at the back slide the translation. Watch this. It's sloth. But. So the way to get rich, the way to obtain wealth, is not by working yourself out to the point that you don't know when to quit. And you can't enjoy life. Are we together so far? The way to obtain wealth is diligence. You can ask anybody who has some money set aside. They will all tell you the same thing. Diligence. Diligence. Diligence pays off. On the other hand, slothfulness will make you poor in a heartbeat. Isn't that something? Sloth make you poor. Diligence brings wealth. Make hay while the sun shines. That's smart. Go fishing during harvest. What's wrong with fishing? It's a hobby here. You have a harvest. Are you with me here? So how can I make better use of my life and my time? I should not wear myself out trying to get rich, because I'm going to miss God, I'm going to miss happiness, I'm going to miss family, and I'm going to miss the good things in life. So there's no need to work 20 hours a day. And then after 20 years, give everything that you have to Johns Hopkins. On the other hand, it's not smart to sleep until 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock. 12 o'clock. Why? Because you're going to be a poor. And you will not have what other people who works have. The way to get in life is being diligent. Being diligent, being steady. That will bring wealth to anyone who does that. So the best way to spend your time, making better use of your life, be diligent. It will bring you wealth. Now, still on the subject of work, Proverbs 10:24 tells us something very interesting. Listen to this. Proverbs 10:24, same chapter, verse 24. Twelve twenty-four. 12:24. Let's read it. Work hard and I don't think it can be simpler than this. A lot of people want to become a leader because they don't want to work. What a paradox. Oh, if I would be the boss, I would be telling people what to do. Why would you do that? Man, you know how hard I work? If I was the boss, I wouldn't do nothing. I'd tell people to do it for me. Well, that's what they say. Work hard and become a leader. Be lazy, and you're going to be a slave. How do I make better use of my life and my time? Work hard. Not too hard that you're going to miss out life. Work hard. Not too hard that you're going to wear yourself out. Work hard to become a leader. God needs leaders. Be diligent, and wealth will come your way. Yet on the subject of work, well, preacher, I already do all this. All right. Do you have a leaking on your roof? Yeah. All right. What does it got to do with making better use of my time? Brother preacher, put it up there, please. Ecclesiastes 10:18. Read it with me. Laziness
leads to a sagging roof. Idleness leads to a leaking house.
What do you say? Got enough time in your hand and don't know what to do? Go fix your roofing. Your roof.
Amen.
What? Go fix your roof.
Amen.
You know how many couples I have canceled that are having marital problems because there is a leak on the roof and they may never get enough courage to get up there to fix it? You know, doing this kind of work, it's amazing. Got enough time on your hands, don't know what to do? Go up on the roof, go fix your roof. Laziness leads to sagging roof. Idleness leads to a leaky house. Now, the backslider translation has it really, really crazy. And it almost don't make sense, but I want you to see. Watch this. A shiftless man lives in a tumble-down shack. Can you believe on that? A lazy man lives on a tumble-down shack. A lazy woman ends up with a leaky roof. Well, preacher, is that all you got tonight? No. Don't go away. You have enough time on your hands. Develop the habit to learn new things, especially the things of God. Proverbs 12:1 tells you and I that if we have enough time in our hands and nothing else to do, it's a nice way to do. To learn, you must love discipline. I don't understand. What does it got with my time? If every time that somebody's trying to teach you something, you get upset, that's stupid. Develop the habit of learning. Why do I need that? I'll show you in a moment. But some people, you cannot even address them. You know, when I was younger, I could address a brother in church easily. In love, so brother, I think we could do better on this here. Da 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 da. And there would be no problem. And nowadays, you say something to people in church, they will get upset and they leave. And then they're going to be backbiting behind the scenes. If you have a problem, I said, to learn, you must love discipline. Meaning, there's going to be time in life that correction will come. And hopefully, being correct, you'll be corrected in love. Do not hate the correction because that's stupid. Now, the backslider translation has it in a crazy way, still worth. If you love learning, you love the discipline that goes with it. How short-sighted to refuse correction. So what you're saying? Have enough time in your hand? Learn. Take time to learn new things from God. And how do I do that? Well, according to Proverbs 13:20, the quickest way to learn discipline and anything else is this. Let's read it. Walk with the wise, but quickest way to develop a habit to love learning is associate yourself with the right person. You know, when I was a young lad, I was not allowed to go to school by my stepfather because there was no money to buy uniform for me. It was money to buy uniform for everybody. But I was the ugly duck, so I had to work to help to feed the family. It's very common in third world country culture. And here am I, 8 years old, dying to learn to read. You had no idea how frustrating it was. I see an airplane. I used to work at the airport. See an airplane coming, and I saw all those symbols. I didn't know what they meant. Mother couldn't teach me because she never learned to read. One day, right before my 9th birthday, I'm working at the beach this time, and a man look at me and he say, "Why aren't you in school?" I said, "I can't." "Why?" He started talking with me, chatting and checking me out. It was God. It was not that man. It was God, even before I knew Jesus. I said, "Well, my father said that we don't make enough money to buy my books and my uniform." In those days, you had to have two PE shoes. PE, that's what it's called, right? Two PE shoes and two sets of clothing, and then you had to have two sets of shoes to go to school, two pants, two shirts, and all the books. If you didn't have that, you couldn't get to school. And I went to a Rotary school. Rotary, right? R-O-T-A-R-Y. Rotary school. Is that a Masonic lodge, whatever? And you could not get in unless you have that stuff. That man said, "I want you to come to my office tomorrow." He gave me his address. And I went with him. Those were good old days. There was no clothes made by the bulk. You just go in and the tailor, you know what I mean? And that man ordered two pair of pants, two shirts, the emblem from the school, and he got me two tennis shoes, two social shoes, sneakers, and four pairs of socks, and the PE clothing. And within 3 days, I went back. He contacted the school director, and somehow got me in. Now, can you imagine all those kids, 5 years old, and here's an almost 9 years old kid among them. Everybody was looking. Wow, he's so tall. But you know what? I was so hungry to learn. So hungry that within 3 months, I went through the whole year worth class. They bumped me up to, on those days they had pre-kindergarten, then kindergarten A and B. It's 3 years preparing you for the first grade. And then they bumped me up to kindergarten. The next quarter, they saw how hungry I was. I went through kindergarten in another 3 months. And then the third quarter comes, I went through kindergarten A, and by the end of the year, I finished first grade. Amen. I went to see that man and showed him my bulletin with my grades. Report card. And he was so happy. And I said, "Wait a minute." He picked up a comic book, read something here for me. I start reading. He was so happy. He took me back, bought me another set of clothes. Within 6 months, I finished first grade. The next 6 months, I finished third grade. I am flying through colors. And I thank God that somewhere on that thing, I developed that desire to read. When I went to university, one of my professors, he had not one single hair in his head. Anytime you would meet that man, he had a book. And one day I asked him, "Don't your eyes get tired?" "Nope." "Doesn't your head get?" "Nope." "Don't you get bored?" "Nope." And I'm thinking, doesn't he know to say something else? And I said, "Sit down, young man." I sat down. I said, "Oh boy, now I'm in trouble." And then I asked him, "You're not going to give me extra homework, right?" He said, "No. No. Sit down." I sat down. And he said, "Every time that you pick up a book and you concentrate on what you are reading, you become better than your fellow man." "How?" "You are obtaining knowledge, and knowledge is power." That's all I needed to hear. Knowledge is power. And how do I come to that point? He said, "In the beginning, it's going to be difficult for you. You're going to start reading, then you're going to be..." You're going to have a sleep desire that out of this world, because your flesh is fighting. But you better start developing this, because you're going to need you in your third year. And I did. And you know, pick up any book on that bookshelf over there. It will take me 1 hour, between 1 and 3 hours, to read from cover to cover. And the best of all, 80% stays right here. Got some extra time in your hands? Walk with the wise and become wise. Because any time that you associate yourself with fools, you will get in trouble. We had a young fella in our neighborhood, nice boy, Greg. Greg stopped coming for the fellowship. And then he started associating himself with fools. Within 6 months, Greg is walking around with his pants halfway in his butt. And now he has landed on the fool's paradise. Downtown booking. Waiting to be transferred to the Maryland Penitentiary. You get associated with fools, you can expect trouble. But if you are smart, walk with the wise. Become the wise. Make better use of your time. Be wise. Did you know that wise people work less, harder than those who are not wise? Wisdom is priceless. Have some extra time? Dive into the book. "Oh man, I come from work, I'm tired, I'm going to watch some TV." Okay. Get ready to work hard next day. All right, Preach, is that it? Nope. I'll give you two more things. Many of us want to get all the blessings that God has for us. But we don't want to seek the things of God. It's just like this new culture today. Well, we are boyfriend and girlfriend. You know, we're going to live together like a man and wife, but we're not going to get married. We're going to wait 2 or 3 years or 4 years to see if things work. Then we get married. So you are willing to have friends with benefits, but you don't want to take responsibility. With the things of God, it's in the same way. People have time, and instead of giving God what belongs to God, we want all the blessings from God. We want to be blessed with a good job, with a good house, with a good car. We want to be blessed with money in the bank, But we don't want to spend that spare time doing something that is very simple. Brother Preacher, can you put up there, please, Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. So what are you talking about? Read it with me. Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sight So what are you talking about? Make it easy. Give them the never inspired version. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand. Now the backslided translation has it crazy, but I still want you to read. Watch this. So, if you're serious about living this new resurrection life with Christ, act like it. Pursue the things over which Christ presides. So what you're saying? Got some time in your hands? Yes. Get serious about the things of God. The best translation to this scripture is on the New King James. Watch this. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of Father. In other words, you know, make it a quest to seek things from heaven. Let me give you a quiz right now. After you check in heaven, after you check in heaven, Mrs. Death came, grab you by the neck, drop your coal at heaven's gate. Peter asks for the password, and you give the password and you get in. You check with Jesus. What is the next thing that you want to do in heaven? Okay. Boy, I got holy people around here. Worship. Cast our crowns at his feet. What else? Take a tour. What do you want to see in heaven? Huh? It's going to be there forever, sweetheart. What else? We want to see the family that has gone. The mansion. That's a good one. The stones, huh? I want to go behind the throne to see that light coming from the back. What are you talking about? Start searching the things from above, and you know what I'm talking about. Now, here's come a crazy one. After I check out and see Jesus and, you know, stop at my home, take a little nap, make sure that the glass is up to the specs. Glass, yes, I'm going to have a glass house in heaven. It's going to be round, right by the river of life, by the side. Check it out, all nice. Good. Then I want to meet mother. My first mother, Sarah. Got some questions for her. What you had in your mind when you gave Hagar to your husband? Some questions I have when I get. After all that is done, I want to do something that you never thought about. The Bible says that in heaven, they have some creatures that have several heads. I want to go and take a look at it. How could you have more than one head? What does it look like? Are you with me here? So I said, what kind of crazy preaching is this, man? The Bible says, if then you are raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of Father. Start thinking about your new home, because this thing here is not your home. You're passing through. Listen to verse number 2. Give me verse 2 over here, Brother Preacher. Watch this. Yeah, leave it here. Set your mind not on things on the earth. Got some time on your hand? Start thinking about your new home. I even thought about, I wonder if I'm going to have wings. Why? I want to take a trip to the planets around here. Say what? I want to take a trip by myself. You know, if Gabe wants to come along, I don't mind. Who? Gabe. Gabriel? Or Mikey? I don't have a problem. You know, but I want to take a trip around. And I mean, when you think about that ring that goes around Saturn, you know what I mean? I want to take a trip to that place. And because I'm going to have a body like Jesus Christ's body, I'm going to be able to get in and out without much problem. Are you with me here? Now, don't get all crazy and start thinking about your trip to Jupiter and forgot to think about the one that will take you to heaven. I'm just giving examples. It says, you got time in your mind, start thinking on the things of God. You got the point? That's the point that we're trying to make here tonight. You've got time in your hands, set your mind on things above, not on things on earth. So you say we should not think about the things on earth. No, he's not saying that. He said, don't wear yourself up with the things here. Start thinking about the things up there, because that's where you belong. That's where you're going to end up in one way or the other. Now listen how crazy it sounds on the backslider translation. Brother Preacher, give me the backslider translation here. Huh? It sounds crazy, but I want you to read it with me. Let's read it. Don't shuffle along, eyes to the ground, observe with the things right in front of you. Look up and be alert to what is going on around Christ. That's where the action is. Isn't that great? So what you're saying, Preach? What is the conclusion? Got some time in your hands? Yes. Turn off the stinking TV. Let's start thinking about Jesus, huh? Let's think about the things that is up there. That's where the action is. You know, I want to meet Hudson Taylor. That guy is quite a character. I want to meet him. I want to meet William Barclay. Man, I'm going to have so much stuff to do in heaven, you know. But hey, we got eternity to do it, right? I want to sit down with David, and then I'm going to take Jonathan, Saul's son, aside. And I got some question for that those two dudes, you know? Don't be consumed, wear out with whatever's going on here. Set your sight, set your mind on the things from above. I love the way that they put this. Don't shuffle along. Eyes to the ground, observed with the things right in front of you. You know, if you're going to start looking to what is going on around us, I mean, you can get desperate. A lot of people is not seeing this, but let me give you something here for you to chew about. If you want to think about things of the earth, I'm going to make your life miserable in 5 minutes or less. What made the United States the greatest power ever on earth, the greatest country ever on earth, is our ingenuity, our ability to accomplish things, our ability to do what we were told it's impossible to do. It's the entrepreneurial spirit. And we became a beacon. I've been saved, brought to Jesus by missionaries that were sent from the United States. And I think many of us could say the same thing that came from overseas. Are we together so far? Satan is obviously upset with our nation for what we stand for. Nevertheless, we have a bunch of knuckleheads on the 60s and 70s that decided to abandon God. As a result, they birthed children that have no clue whatsoever about God. We have now a pagan leader that went to power, decided in his heart to dismantle the nation. And he said, this country will never be, quote, the same by the time I finish. And it will not. The cultures of the world have become